You may have heard of immersive technology, media, or even video, but did you know that audio can be immersive? In fact, audio is often the most important and overlooked medium that ties our favorite immersive experiences together. Experiences like gaming, movies, music, and other entertainment we all know and love. To explore this new growing topic, we brought on David Urrutia, an extended reality and immersive sound design professional. His experiences stretch over 19 years as an audio engineer, including being a former XR audio creative lead at Meta, formerly Facebook. He specializes in creating sound experiences for spatial and extended reality platforms. This means connecting real world and imagined sound into immersive storytelling and entertainment experiences. He does this through his company, Blast XR LLC, to help people unlock the full potential of immersive and interactive mixed reality experiences. Hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to Emerging Tech Mastery, a show that demystifies cutting-edge technology like cryptocurrency, the blockchain, metaverse, NFTs, virtual reality, the maker movement, artificial intelligence, machine learning, cloud, edge, and even fog computing. Strap in as we ride into the fourth industrial revolution. Emerging Tech Mastery provides actionable knowledge, regardless of skill level, from experts in the trenches. We piece together this intel in easy-to-consume media formats, processes, and procedures. See you in the future.
Emerging Tech Mastery.
Hello, everyone. Aaron Mungle here with Emerging Tech Mastery. I'm your host, and I'm here with a very special guest. That would be David Urrutia. Thanks for joining us.
How's it going, Aaron?
Great, thanks. And really quick for everyone, David develops immersive sound for extended reality, which might seem like quite a lot going on there, and it is. But David, thanks again for coming back, and really look forward to jumping in here.
Yeah, I'm excited. Thanks for having me on the show.
So you have been in quite a few different niches and really some top name companies. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to where you are today.
Sure. I was a music technology major at Northeastern University. From there, I started off, as many people in the audio industry do, as an intern and worked my way up at a company called Wave Group Sound, which was based out of Fremont, California. And at that company, we did everything from AAA game titles to TV and film, voice and interaction systems, pretty much every facet of audio up until I left there and went out for a few years into the hobby drone industry, which was a really interesting space to put cameras on drones and see from this new first-person perspective. And then I was at Meta for 7 years as a interactive sound designer and creative director. That was my path to where I'm at now in 2023 as the founder of Blast XR LLC, which is focused on mixed reality or extended reality experiences, which cover VR, AR, and the devices which can do both of them.
Yeah, you have a lot of cumulative knowledge, including working for one of those big companies in FANG, you know, acronym. So it's really great to see the evolution into your own thing, and we're going to get into that in a little bit here. But to start off, what is audio and the technology behind it?
Audio is probably pretty familiar to many people in its form of music or voice, for instance. Television and film is a great way to look at it, which breaks it down for dialogue, ambience, and sound effects. But it also includes things like creative tools, so voice changers, if we wanted to apply reverb and delay, other things like that are all part of the audio chain. And often audio comes to life in many forms throughout the day, both in our natural hearing, if we're lucky enough to have that, as well as in the media that we consume and podcasts and methods like this and communication through phones. It's pretty much any of the sonic elements are what I think of as audio.
What would you say is mono versus stereo, and how does that relate to your you mentioned the word sonic. You know, is that a separate concept, or is the mono and stereo a part of that overall concept?
From a sound perspective, you can think of mono as if you only had one working ear. That's mono. And it limits the ability of understanding where in space something is coming from directionally. Stereo is what we hear if we're lucky enough to have two working ears. And this gives us the ability with just these two points of sound to locate things in our space. When it comes to audio on media, these can be thought of in the original days where people had mono recordings on records, and this was just the single channel recording that would be retransmitted back. Stereo was an advancement that came through in the mid-1900s, and that gave the ability to have a left and right channel. When we think about music or even going to the movies, these are fixed speaker placement. So the sound generates from the exact place that the speaker sits, and we tend to be somewhere else within that space, and we listen to it. Ultimately, mono, stereo are just different types of file format from 1 to 2, and there are many other file formats that increase the channel count, or there's even past that, something like spatial audio, which might be more complex from an algorithmic standpoint and doesn't necessarily represent fixed speakers in space. So we could have virtual objects that could be presented in a spatial way and move through the space, unlike fixed speakers.
So you mentioned mono being sort of an original format or, you know, medium, if you will. How does that relate to analog versus digital?
I don't know if there's a super strong distinction. It exists in both forms. Mono is a single channel, and the way we use mono really depends on the use case and the consumption use case as well.
No, I appreciate the distinction there. I think the reason I was asking was because what came to my mind was records and how there's literally a physical groove embedded in the records. So I was finding it interesting to consider where mono falls in that. And like you said, you know, mono can exist in a bunch of different places. Frankly, even a record could become digital if one so chose. So I guess I was just wondering also, was there this thought that vinyl, or we'll say that analog medium, had its better quality? I use that term loosely in quotes, but I know there's a lot of people who have strong opinions about that.
I don't know that I would associate mono necessarily with a better quality. I think mono really was a limitation of the technology at the time. There were situations where people would try to listen to stereo music and they wouldn't realize that they had wired up both of their left and right speakers for stereo to a right or left channel. And mixes like the Beatles were doing, for instance, or other bands of the time were doing extreme panning. So on the left side would be one mix of the music, and on the right side would be another. And collectively, they would create this stereo consumption. But if you only played one side, you would only hear half of the music. So there was a really interesting challenge as stereo came online that people had to change their methods of even understanding how to connect with the technology.
So I want to get into immersive technology here in a second, but before we get into that, tell us a little bit about how audio is used as a storytelling medium.
Audio is a great element for storytelling, maybe one of the most important elements. As we're doing just now, voice is one of the leading ways to tell a story. And of course, you can do that through sound effects or ambience and music. But voice itself is one of the best narrative tools that we have.
So what exactly is immersive technology as far as audio goes?
Some of what I've been really excited about is thinking about extended reality experiences. If we go further, talking about mixed reality, which is a device that can do virtual reality or augmented reality. In particular, the difference is being able to see through to the world around us. So when I wear Quest Pro headset or the upcoming Apple Vision Pro, these headsets will see through with cameras, and they will also actually be contextually aware of understanding where the walls are, where the ceiling and floor is. So from an immersive perspective, sound is now elevated in a lot of ways that we couldn't do with a mobile device or what happens in VR. I think of the minimum viable product for mixed reality as being eyes, which give us a 180-degree view in front of us, our hands, which are part of interactivity, whether they're using controllers or just your actually tracked hands themselves, our ears, which give us 360-degree understanding of our space, And now, because we can see our space, unlike virtual reality, which is just virtual around us and we crash into things if we try to move, now being able to see the room around us gives us the freedom of movement. So collectively, eyes, hands, ears, and this freedom of movement really connect this human experience that we're all so used to. And it's an exciting time because sound is such a critical component of that. It reinforces what we see. It reinforces how we interact with the world. It gives us signal to all of those elements as well as those behind, above us. And it plays into this dynamic freedom that we have where sound is not so fixed as when we go to the movie theater, we're stuck in a seat and it depends on what seat we're in. Now we can move around the space, we hear the sound, and with this digital layer, we can also hear those elements and our interactions all in real time.
So what exactly is spatial audio and how does that, my understanding is it's a little bit of a different concept from immersive audio, or it's a subset perhaps of immersive audio. So yeah, what is spatial audio?
If we take it back to our human experience, spatial audio is something that we get to realize if we're lucky enough to have two working ears. And our brain is able to conceptualize the differences in timing of elements that make sound around us. So when a car is to the right of us and it is moving, we know that it's to the right of us because the sound of the vehicle is getting to our right ear just a bit before it gets to our left ear. So spatial audio is taking that concept into digital spatial experiences and trying to very quickly render these different elements back to our ears through a stereo headset.
Yeah, and if I understand you right, it's funny how the camera has always been this sort of focal point for film and shows and visual media, but now it seems like audio has the ability to be moved around. Now, that was something not always the case. As you said, earlier iterations of the technology were much more fixed and set in stone, so to speak, but now it seems like audio is having the ability to be moved around, much like the camera.
Very much so. Historically, with music being stereo, we're talking about sound spread out across a horizontal plane. The mixing is from left to right. As video games became much more popular, spatial sound gave us this horizontal understanding of sound as well as a vertical level of sound. So as objects are presented around the person using the experience, they're able to really understand where within that space the object is emitting sound from.
Is there a special recording approach to this? Is equipment set up in a certain way to capture sound in that manner? Or is there also a software method to generate that?
There are both methods. So the ambisonic recording is a microphone type that is generally fixed in space, or even if it's not fixed in space, if it's moving through space, it is only picking up a 360-degree representation of sound from wherever it sits. So you can almost think about that being the component to 360 photos or video. You often cannot have any freedom of movement within the captured video, but you can, from a fixed position, look around and be immersed with the spherical nature of a 360 photo or video. That's how you can think of ambisonic recordings. Past that, however, sound designers and other designers working with sound can take individual elements of sound and spatially mix them. So something like Dolby Atmos or even the Spatializer within Unity give designers and developers the ability to take individual sounds, often mono sound sources, and then they can place them to an object and have the object emit. So as the object moves through the spatial scene, it has that relationship to the camera position or the user position. And that gives this spatial rendering. And that's how people are able to close their eyes in a spatial experience and still be able to tell where the object is.
Yeah, and I wanted to just ponder a quick bit on who would use these setups.
What I'm most excited about these days is the freedom of movement element to this. When you then imagine I can see through my room, I can move through my space, I can interact with the things in my space, and there can be a digital layer connected realistically to all of this. Now you can imagine the fire is in the corner of your living room. My room is different than your room, and everybody has this personal connection to their spaces. So what is it like when you have a personal connection to your space and you can add an immersive digital layer that is three-dimensionally realistic? There are objects that you can interact with, or even at the most basic level, you can move up to and through and be in and around. And that, to me, is some of the untapped, really exciting frontier that's opening up as mixed reality and more capable AR devices are at the consumer level.
The interactivity really feels like a bit of a catalyst, I guess I would call it, for these things to happen. And I feel like if you didn't have that interactivity, we almost couldn't realize a lot of the stuff you're talking about.
Yeah, interactivity is huge from these immersive experiences that sometimes it's just using the user interface and it's a utility. Other times it's part of the delight of the experience. We see the object, we can touch and move and transform the object and do this whole spectrum of things that are very known from a human experience all the way up to completely magical. And we can do things that we can't really do in the real world, or maybe we wouldn't want to do in the real world, like walk into a fire. But very quickly, we could see you could pick up a virtual fire extinguisher and spray out the fire. You would hear the sound of the fire extinguisher going from your hands, and you spray into the air. It ends up giving you these magical moments where you can be in your space, you can do things that feel human and natural, but also super magical, and things that really elevate these experiences and present the sort of special sauce of these new immersive methods where you're free to move through the space. We can hear things, we can touch and feel them, and we can see them.
Do you think that this whole new sort of use of all these different medias, do you think that's kind of reviving the craft of audio? And I mean, it never quite went away, but it does seem like it was a little bit overlooked as mass media took off. So how do you see the need for audio and the skill of audio for what's to come and what's here now?
Audio has always played a really special part in storytelling, in entertainment and media. And I think it's also suffered from often being the last. When I worked on games, it was really interesting because we would start a game and there would be the understanding, okay, we've got 2 megabytes of space for the sound in this game. And as we got further through the game development, the directors would come back and say, okay, actually, we have 1.5 megs. And then it would go down to 1. And we would have to continually cut the audio budget to fit the needs of visuals and performance. And that still is a challenge today. I think audio can be an afterthought or one of the early to deprioritize features. One of the opportunities that the industry has now, especially because we have these mixed reality devices that have stereo headsets on them, they are fixed to our ears, or at least the location of our ears, and they present right out of the box a great spatial experience. Some of that thinking is going to need to change for the immense amount of content and experiences that are being created for them to actually compete and stand out. Thinking about sound early and not deprioritizing it is going to give the competitive edge to the different people who are out there creating these new experiences.
Gosh, you really make me think that it would be so epic to see a sound first, you know, I don't know if game would be the right word or just media piece, because I do think that it would be a pretty wonderful experience to see sound given the full budget or even more budget and quality. Because, you know, I think about all these games I played when I was young and it only hit me later. Wow, you were just playing a game with a professional orchestra and a sound score and like all the talent involved. And that was thrown at early PC games or point and click adventure games, which is a niche I love. And so I think you're so right about the opportunity. And I think, as you pointed out, it hasn't been given that breathing room, frankly. So I'm really stoked to see that to come.
Yeah, I am as well. It's been so exciting to be a part of this cutting edge technology and to work with so many amazing cross-functional partners and developers and creatives who are thinking this way. And there is a whole consumer audience who is very small at this point. The Apple Vision Pro, I believe, is speculated to cost $3,500. So there's a price barrier that limits it. But even in those cases, the great experiences that will come out for these devices can then be captured and shared with people who don't have them. And sometimes one of the biggest challenges with immersive experiences, you have to actually put them on to try it. But even getting just a sample of that through the shared media that comes from these experiences, people seeing, wow, I can do this in my own space, it's going to start to change the minds of consumers. It's going to motivate the manufacturers to lower the price, and it's going to set up this new space where, with a little bit of thinking, creative balance on the recipe and the elements, there's just going to be a whole revolution of new ways to consume and experience fun stuff with these immersive media types.
How does AI or algorithms, or we'll just say enabling technologies, play a part in this? And are they actually creating the ability to do new things that we weren't able to do before?
I'm really excited about the ongoing tech developments and all of the really creative minds and engineering that's been enabling so many of these audio tools and capabilities. And AI, I think, is really something that's at the forefront. There is this new space where the development of this new tech is enabling all types of new ways to generate content. And for some, it's totally threatening. It's probably pretty crazy if you're a voice talent and you're realizing a lot of people are now creating voices without needing to call you anymore. And at the same time, I know very few voice talent who are multilingual. So then there are the other side of that where a developer could code in text to speech and now have a much wider global audience because they are able to translate the content that they have into the language of the people who would want to consume it. So there are really exciting times, lots of unknowns, and pretty polarizing discussions on all sides. But as a creative mind myself, I get really excited about the opportunity of these new tools and how they might elevate audio experiences. I'm really excited for different speech-to-text, text-to-speech, the integration of AI that would now free us up from being at a computer screen because we're wearing a device that can actually see to our surroundings. So what does it mean if I'm building my studio here and I could be wearing, instead of safety glasses, maybe a mixed reality device? Could AI help me build the space? Could it free up my hands to continue building while I listen and interact with some sort of AI assistant? It's really exciting, and we're just so early in a lot of it. Who knows? Check in with me in 1 year, then 3 years, 5 years. It would be really interesting to see how the world is changing from this.
Well, I really appreciate you opening up your mind and sharing your knowledge and helping to get people thinking about an area that, you know, as we've talked about, has been a little overlooked, but, you know, not for long. I think people are going to really start to see it, feel it, experience it. And I think that's going to be a true inflection point of change. And again, thanks so much for coming on and all the great info. How do we get in touch with you and follow your work, or for collaborations or people that want to work with you? You know, where can they go?
You can check out the website at blastxrllc.com. And I've got links to Instagram, LinkedIn as well. And that would be a great place to start.
Hey, David, thanks for coming on. Congrats on the company. And I look forward to talking to you real soon. This will not be the last of our discussions here. I can promise you that.
Thanks, Aaron. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right. You as well. See you, everyone, in the future.